It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, and doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
It's not Matthew Sosi. Good evening, film lovers. You are tuned in to Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Matt Sosi is not here. He is on assignment. He is in a show. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Kobe Slagle, as always, joined in studio, the independent critic.
Remembered.
Please. His haterade mug runneth over.
Wow.
Richard Probst.
I am Richard Probst. I am Matthew Sosi without feet. Thank you very much. Oh, I can't believe he's bailed on. I can't believe he's let me have the show again. He must not have any listeners. I mean, that's the only reason I can possibly think of.
We got a couple in Florida and California.
Really?
Yeah.
Non-relatives?
No relatives.
Does Bianca listen to the show, Kobe?
Bianca's dad's listening to the show right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So I should watch my language.
Yeah.
I can't say anything about Bianca, well, can I? I'm only kidding, Mr. Bianca. I don't know what... Okay.
Mr. Bianca.
Mr. Bianca.
Sorry about that.
That's your new name. All right. All right.
Well, we're off to a good start.
We're off to a great start. This might be my last time hosting the show. I say that every time, though. All right, joining me for the show tonight is Shane Cooper. You are the managing director.
That is correct, at the newly named Carmike 18.
Carmike 8. I saw that. I looked it up. And it was, so it's no longer the Metropolis.
It's the the Shops at Perry Crossing is the name of the new mall development out there. So
why is it called the Shops at Perry Crossing?
I think they are... It's a new name for a
it's
new...
It's not in Perry Township. That doesn't make sense
It's on
to me.
Perry Road.
Is it?
Yes. It's
okay.
It's at Perry Road in US 40.
Wow. Okay. Well, Okay. See, I learn something
good.
New on this show every day. And it's a great theater, actually.
Oh, well, thank you.
It
very
is.
Much.
I've been there a few times. It's a little too far west for me, but... It's out there.
It's worth the drive.
All right.
Where are we driving to again?
We're driving to US 40 and Perry Road in Plainfield, Indiana.
And we're going to go to a movie tonight. We're going to go to 18 movies.
There we go.
Yes.
I guess we don't have quite 18, but something in that ballpark.
Or on when does Star Wars open?
December 18th. Actually, December 17th at 7 o'clock.
Midnight. Oh, 7.
7 p.m.
7 is the new midnight.
How many
seven
screens does midnight. It get? Out of the 18.
Are we talking on 16. Thursday or are we talking on Friday? Thursday, there's a very good chance it has 15 screens on Thursday night.
Wow.
And on Friday, it's going to have a large number.
Wow.
A large number.
That's pretty incredible. All right, believe it or not, we are going to do some movie reviews.
Taking pre-orders?
We are. We're selling tickets now.
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we sold a lot of tickets.
More than the population of Plainfield, probably.
Plainfield's not very big.
It's but, not, exactly. Yeah. See, yeah. I know that. I have relatives there. That's why I avoid Plainfield. Oh, we actually have a great, October, we were just discussing this, Shane. October was kind of a really bad month for movies. You know, none of the opening films really did very well.
Right, yes. That's fair to say.
As a managing director of a movie theater, I'm sure it hurt.
It hurt a little bit, yeah. But we are super excited
just
for
when
November.
He thought he couldn't feel any worse about himself. Richard Probst, ladies and gentlemen.
Haterade wins again.
We're excited about November, though.
But it seems like this week we're kind of starting to get into Oscar season, mm-hmm. first of all, which doesn't always mean a big box office. But I think we're getting into, we're kind of getting out of the fall dumping ground.
Are we also getting into holiday blockbuster season? We are getting... is November, is the first weekend of November the new Black Friday weekend?
For us, it's you know, those benchmark weekends are November, the first weekend in November, the first weekend in May. So, yeah, we're okay. kind of hitting that first, you know, things have kind of expanded a little bit. It's not Thanksgiving anymore. It's that first week in yeah. November you start to see, you know, some of those bigger movies that are coming out for
I was thinking about that last night, and, I mean, James Bond opens today.
It does.
That Spectre. Thing's going to be in theaters probably till Christmas.
Or later, actually, probably. Yeah. You're probably right on that.
I'm thinking. Even though, we'll talk about that in a little bit. All right. We'll get to that one. Which one do we want to start? Do we want to start with James?
Let's talk about Room. Okay. Not The Room.
Let's talk about Room. Those of we're gonna let's do the trailer first, okay. and then we'll talk about it.
One evening when the sun went down and the jungle fire was burning, down the tracks came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away, beside the crystal fountain." I guess they still can't hear us. Do you remember how Alice wasn't always in Wonderland?
She fell down, 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 deep in a hole.
Right, well, I wasn't always in Room. I'm like Alice. Now we've got a chance.
I'm scared.
I know. Truck.
Truck.
Wiggle out.
Wiggle out.
Jump.
Jump.
Run.
Run.
In the big rock. You're gonna love it.
What?
The world.
All right, that is Room. Those of you who were at the Heartland Film Festival this year, you got to see Room before it opened nationwide. It's kind of been doing kind of that slow build. You know, it's one of those films. It's getting a lot of Oscar buzz, but it's a challenging topic. You know, it's those if you know the book, it's about a woman who is kidnapped at the age of 17, and she's kept, of course, in a room. Imagine that. And she lives her life in this room, and ends up having a child, and she's raising the child in this room, and this. This room is the only world this child knows. And so you essentially have two movies in one, because you have the movie that takes place in the room, and then there is life after the room. And those of you who've read the book, that is not a spoiler. And the movie's very, very faithful to the book. I mean, and this is probably the first film that's opening that's getting a lot of Oscar buzz.
That's definitely the truth. This is one I haven't had a chance to see yet, but I'm really excited to see. This may actually be what I do this evening.
Really?
Go see this one.
I know at least three or four of the Indiana Film Journalist members who are kind of considering this so far the best film of the year.
Really?
You know, it's an amazing performance from Brie Larson, who, if you know her, she is 26 years old, relatively a newcomer.
She's been in a few things.
She's been in a few things. Yeah. And she's kind of a critical darling at this point.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, she's not really done much in the way. Has she done a blockbuster?
She was in Scott Pilgrim, which definitely wasn't a blockbuster, but yeah. Edgar Wright gave it some cred. So, yeah.
So you know, she's getting good buzz. Jacob Tremblay, who plays a 7-year-old in the film, and I believe
21 Jump Street. She was
21
in.
Jump Street.
That's
yeah,
right.
I just thought of that one.
Jacob Tremblay is getting some Oscar buzz. He was 8 years old when he actually did the filming for the film. He plays the kid in this film. You know, most of the time when you watch kids on in a film, you kind of get the feeling they're a kid in a film. Jacob does things in this film that you can't do as a child. You know, you have to act to pull off some of the things that he is required to do in this film. And it's just an amazing performance. You know, I would almost say, you know, let's just wrap up that Best Actress Oscar and give it to Brie Lau now. And I think I would not be surprised to see Tremblay get a nomination. I think this is going to be one of those films that gets a lot of Oscar buzz. I'm hoping it finds an audience because really it's a very, even though it's a challenging subject matter, it's a very upbeat, hopeful film. It is very much about hope and about the fact that love does not know boundaries and that it can't be confined to a room. And so I don't know. I haven't decided yet if this is my favorite film of the year, but it's certainly in my top three. This film blew me away. If you get the chance this weekend, it opens this weekend. It's at Keystone Arts Cinema. If you want a good drama about hope, I mean, this is just a film to watch. Certainly, I mean, the fact that it played at Heartland, you know that it's about positive and inspiring themes, and that it, you know, is really about the fact that hope can change lives and change the world. And it's one of those things that I almost have a hard time talking about it.
What I'm getting from you, Richard, is this.
Yes, 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 yes.
That is so completely accurate, Kobe.
I'm sold. I'm there.
Let's go. Okay, let's go, Kobe. Now. You get to handle the rest of the show now.
Yeah, I think so. It's a plan.
All right. I think we need to talk about James Bond now.
Okay. We can do that. Shall we take a listen to the trailer?
Let's listen to the trailer for Spectre. Right.
This organization. Do you know what it's called?
Its name is Spectre.
Look around you, James. Everything you believed in, a ruin. Why did you come? I came here to kill you. And I thought you came here to die.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective.
Wow, that was more exciting than the entire film right there.
Really?
Well, you know, maybe I'm exaggerating, you know, just a little bit. Daniel Craig is getting old. Let's be honest. Okay, it's kind of like, who's a really old actor?
Robert Redford.
Yeah, Robert, that's a good one.
Yeah, there you go.
If Robert Redford would
Clint
play.
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, wow.
He didn't say really, really old.
I'm not actually sure Clint Eastwood is still alive. I think he just kind of shows up on screen and they prop him up, and you know, it's kind of a Weekend at Bernie's thing. I don't know. Anyway, that was Spectre.
Yeah,
Daniel Craig is 48 years old.
He is?
Yeah.
He's younger than me.
Born in 1968.
Thank you for depressing me, Kobe. I appreciate that.
You know, I think there's this movie, there's some great action scenes. I thought the opening sequence of this movie is up there with Bond is kind of known for opening with these really great action set pieces. And I thought that one, I tell you what, I'm definitely going to Mexico City for the Day of the Dead at least one time. Thank you. At least once in my lifetime, based on this movie alone, I have to go. It's a Bond for Bond fans, I think. I think there's a lot. I think if you've been into these movies,
because that's what everybody kind of said about Skyfall a couple years ago.
And I think this is the natural successor to Skyfall. If you enjoyed Skyfall and the things they set up with Skyfall, this is your payoff. If you've kind of been, this is the 25th Bond movie, and I really feel like it's a Bond movie, you're not bringing in anybody new that hasn't that isn't familiar with Bond.
True.
With this movie, I don't and I think they've made that movie. That's the best way I know how to explain it, because I think there's so many things in there. If you haven't seen Casino Royale and you haven't seen Quantum of Solace and you haven't seen Skyfall, you're gonna be lost a lot of this movie, because a lot of it is callbacks and paying off things they've set up. And
I didn't see Quantum of Solace. Saw the other.
Okay, I can tell you probably are okay not seeing that one, but you kind of need to see the other ones.
Yeah, saw the others.
To get the full what I think they were trying to go for with this movie.
I think cool. so. Was it too light for you?
Considering what it is.
I mean, I felt like it got a little bit too light for what we know as Bond.
I think it's a modern spin on the classic Bond. And when I say classic Bond, I mean, you know, Blofeld with his cat, and it's a spin on that kind of the
Are you
old,
confusing Bond with Austin Powers?
If you were trying to make a gritty version of Austin Powers, a grounded in reality version of Austin Powers, that's maybe what you're maybe kind of in the ballpark of what you're doing.
Well, you did hear in the trailer Christoph Waltz say, "Oh, I thought you would come here to die, Mr. Bond."
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. I love Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know anybody that doesn't. That guy's fantastic.
I would go see the movie again just for him.
I'd watch him for 2 hours read the phone book. he just has that kind of it factor about him.
Did you
that
see
I
Carnage?
Just watch him. Yes, yeah, I did.
Love Carnage.
Yeah.
It was kind of like so listening great, to the phone book.
Has he done anything that we don't like?
He's been in movies I don't like.
But you did not dislike him.
He's in Horrible Bosses 2, which
that's true.
We could have a whole show about that about that movie. But I didn't necessarily not like him in that movie.
No, he was one of the highlights of that movie.
The highlight.
He was the highlight. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So there's a couple movies like that. He was Green Hornet, too, with Seth Rogen. I think he played the villain in that one, too. I kind of felt the same way about that movie.
He's one of those actors who's so good, you kind of wonder, okay, how did it take him so long to get known?
Right, to break.
I mean, it's just, it's pretty interesting. So you really, did you really like Spectre?
I would say that as a Bond fan, and I have full disclosure, I am a James Bond fan. I've seen every James Bond movie. I know all the James Bond themes. I felt that I was paid off for some things in this movie.
So
loyalist will enjoy this movie.
So.
But I actually had this conversation with somebody yesterday. I don't know how well this brings in if this is your first Bond movie, I don't think you're going to be real satisfied. It's not going to be a good place to start.
What do you think of the Sam Smith theme song?
Oh, that's a whole nother that's a whole nother thing. I like Sam Smith.
Yeah,
I do. I like Sam Smith. He's the absolute wrong choice. I hate the song. It doesn't fit.
I agree.
Especially where it fits in the movie, because I mean, like I was saying, you're coming off this really great action set piece to open this movie, and then it's a Sam Smith song that it just brought everything down immediately. I thought
I have not heard the song yet.
Well,
I think you should look it up, Kobe.
All right,
And I'm glad you didn't play it as the intro, because that would have just brought down the energy of the show.
It's classified as music.
It's a beautiful thing. If you like Sam Smith, you might like it.
I like Sam Smith, and I don't
like
that song.
You don't like it. Okay, that's true.
So kind of overall,
now that was a good movie.
I think that works.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of nostalgia, I think we need to go to the one. People thought I was kidding when I said I was looking more forward to this film than I'm looking forward to Star Wars.
You must be talking about Peanuts.
I've been looking forward to this since I saw a cardboard cutout thing in the theaters like last November, December.
Really?
Yeah. They like, you know, it was like a Snoopy doghouse and it holidays 2016, whatever it said.
Exactly. Oh. I was so excited when I saw this was coming out. And, you know, the people who got upset because Blue Sky was doing it and the animation looked, you know, contemporary. Stop the worries. I mean, honestly, you know, is it necessarily going to win the Oscar for Best Animated Feature? Probably not.
Right.
But It, if you're a loyalist of Peanuts, if you are, you know, a fan of this kind, the Peanuts, the innocence, the sweetness, the nostalgia, I can't imagine you and your kid are not going to just absolutely love this film.
And I think that's, I think what you just said there is perfect. I think it's a movie that you're going to enjoy as much as your kid enjoys.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I think almost everybody has grown up with Peanuts in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I still think their holiday specials are like some of the most highly rated holiday programming. And there were so many things in this movie that was like,
I
remember that.
It's Christmas time again, Charlie Brown.
Well, wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow, okay. All right. Yeah, it's it's the way that the narrative they went with the movie is a little different than what I was expecting. So it basically takes place over the entire school year, and
cool.
Which gives them an opportunity to sort of revisit some of those classic moments that you know from some of the specials and things.
Oh, cool.
With Peanuts, so I was definitely not disappointed. I liked it a lot, and cool. You know, I'm looking forward to.
And what I like
nieces
is
and nephews.
It did a couple things that I thought were nice. Number one, it didn't feel the need to throw in all the pop culture stuff.
Right.
Which gets really old. And number two, you didn't have a lot of big names doing the voices.
Nope. Yeah.
No, I mean, so you didn't get distracted by that stuff.
Yeah.
It was Peanuts. And I just,
shall we take a listen?
Let's take a listen.
Hey, Kay, look, there's a new kid moving in. I just hope this new kid has never heard of me. It's not often you get the opportunity to start over with a clean slate. This time, things will be different. He did it!
This November,
I'm going to change who I am and become a winner. Wow.
Find the courage.
If there's one person you want by your side at a moment like this, it's your loyal dog.
No dog!
To dream big.
If you really want to impress people, you need to show them you're a winner.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind.
Of course, when I say you, you know I don't mean you personally.
20th Century Fox presents...
Step one, forget everything you ever knew about yourself. Charlie Brown is not a quitter. Are you serious?
Schroeder.
I don't need to fight.
Sally. Linus.
Hey, Charlie Brown.
Peppermint Patty.
Three.
Big Ben. Lucy.
You blockhead.
Snoopy. And Charlie Brown.
The new kid is coming. She's pretty.
She's not that pretty.
She looked at me.
From the imagination of Charles Schulz.
Curly hair.
Comes the incredible story.
Ooh. Now there's a guy who's going places.
Of an underdog and his dog.
Snoopy, what would I do without a friend like you? I can't believe I'm about to talk to the new girl.
Hello?
Peanuts movie.
That just sounds like that's going to be my favorite thing in the world.
I'm going to say, I think that should be your next date night with Bianca.
That's on the schedule this weekend.
All right.
You will not be disappointed.
I can't imagine. No, I just, you know, I like it when a trailer can even kind of take you there.
Right.
And I'm sitting here listening to the trailer and I'm going, I was instantly transported back to watching the film. And
right.
Just, I love it when that works. So anyway, that's take your kid this weekend.
Your
kid's been good, even if they've been bad. If you have a horrible child, take your kid to see Peanuts this weekend.
Take your spouse to see Peanuts this weekend.
Take your spouse.
Take anybody to see Peanuts this weekend.
If you're in a new relationship,
is it playing at the Carmike Cinema?
It is playing at the Carmike 18.
on 15 screens?
Showtimes. Not quite on 15, but we have a Showtime that's just right for you.
Did they put this in 3D?
They have 2D and 3D.
Yeah, it's in both.
Okay.
So I say see it in both.
I have not seen a 3D movie in theater.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a 3D movie out of the theater?
Actually, no, I haven't.
I'm have 3D television now.
It's a very different 3D than what you're, if you haven't seen 3D in the modern style of 3D, it's a very different experience than the blue and red glasses of yesteryear. Yeah. It's a very, very different.
He's only like experience. 19, so yesteryear is like.
He might not even be familiar with that.
You know what I mean?
Come I know on. That stuff.
Yesteryear for you was what? That, you know, Zac Efron and High School Musical and.
He said High School
Kobe's
Musical.
Kobe's only 19.
Kobe's only 19. I might be exaggerating just a bit. I'm not trying to scare you, Mr. Bianca. I'm sorry. We now have a new character on the show, Mr. Bianca.
Mr. Bianca.
From a distance. Okay.
Sorry, Uli. All right.
All right. Are we ready for the next one?
Yeah.
All right.
Spotlight's opening.
It's not in Indianapolis this week, but it's opening in theaters this week, and it comes here in 2 weeks, November 20th. And I still want to talk about it because, well, it's also in my top three. So let's listen to the trailer.
I know there's things you cannot tell me. But I also know there's a story here, and I think everybody will hear about it.
Do you think your paper has the resources to take that on?
I do. Do you?
The Boston priests molested kids in six different parishes over the last 30 years. The church found out about it and did nothing. We haven't committed any long-term investigative resources to the case.
No, we haven't.
And that's the kind of thing your team would do.
Spotlight? Guys, listen. Everybody's going to be interested in this.
Obviously, the church will fight us very hard.
Trying to get some background information.
I don't want you recording this in any way, shape, or form. Nothing.
We understand you've settled several cases against the church.
I can't discuss that.
There aren't any records of any of these settlements.
Nope.
When you're a poor kid from a poor family, and when a priest pays attention to you, it's a big deal. How do you say no to God?
Spotlight.
Just the tip line.
You think he's got something?
I want to keep digging.
We need to focus on the institution. Show me that it came from the top down.
Try to silence anyone who speaks out.
You leave me alone, you hear me, goddammit?
6% act out sexually.
6% is 90.
90 priests.
If there were 90 of these bastards, people would know.
Maybe they do. You're going to give me the names and the names of their victims. Are you threatening me?
I was doing my job.
Yeah, you and everyone else.
I am here because I care. We're going to tell this story. We're going to tell it right.
I'm hoping we can keep this between us until we all get on the same page.
Is that why we're here, to get on the same page? We've got two stories here. A story about degenerate clergy, and a story about a bunch of lawyers turning child abuse into a cottage industry. Which story do you want us to write? Because we're writing one of them.
I'm not crazy.
They control everything.
This is not just Boston. It's a whole country. It's a whole world.
They knew, and they let it happen. It could have been you. It could have been me. It could have been any of us.
All right, that is the trailer for Spotlight, which is opening here in Indy on November 20th. Definitely in my top three for the year. And I got to see it a little bit early because I'm scheduled to do an interview for the film. And I'm really psyched about this one. Beyond the topic, you know, this is a film that's based on the Boston Globe's investigation of the sex abuse scandal in the Archdiocese of Boston. And, you know, so obviously inspired by a true story, inspired by a timely story, directed by Thomas McCarthy, who has done some good stuff. Win-win, Station Agent, Then he did The Cobbler.
Which is sort of a, most people didn't care for that one.
Most people didn't care for that. That was an Adam Sandler-led film.
Did that even get a release? Because I saw that on DVD at a store and was like, I have never seen anything about
that. That was one of those that, you know, they actually gave it a little bit of buzz. I remember last award season.
Yeah, there was like I think it had 300 screens, something like that. So it was at one theater in your city, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. It was quick and out, okay. And it pretty universally got panned.
Right.
What I think was cool was that they, even though nobody could figure out how the guy who did Win Win and Station Agent actually directed something that was really, you know, not that great.
Right.
And I was one of the kinder critics for The Cobbler because I didn't hate it. I just didn't think it was great. You expect more from Thomas McCarthy, and yet he's back.
Right.
You know, he comes back with this film, which is obviously a complete polar opposite of The Cobbler. He co-wrote the film with Josh Singer. This, for me, is the best ensemble film that I've seen in quite some time. I mean, you have Mark Ruffalo, Rachel McAdams, Michael Keaton, Stanley Tucci. Just an amazing cast. And yet when I was thinking about the film after watching it, I had a hard time even coming up with anyone who would qualify as a leading performance. I mean, they all felt like supporting performances.
It's truly an ensemble movie.
It's just got an incredible, it's intelligent, it's sensitive, it is very nicely written. There were no moments where I cringed. And yet, kind of like Room did for me, it avoided exploiting the people it was trying to talk about. You know, one of the things I really liked about Room was that it was about a very challenging topic, but it didn't exploit that topic.
Right.
Or the woman who was kidnapped. You saw some of the things that she goes through while kidnapped, but they never glorified that kind of violence.
Right.
This film is very much about, of course, the reporters, the spotlight reporters from the Boston Globe who investigated over the course of a year and, of course, revealed a much bigger scandal than anybody ever realized or thought about would be there. And one of the great things about this film, I thought, was that it is not a condemnation of the Catholic Church. It is not a condemnation, really, of anyone. It is about the systems that allowed this kind of thing to happen. And, yeah, obviously, the Catholic Church was in part of that. But they even talked about the Globe, the fact that, you know, they had received some earlier tips that they had minimized. They talked about city leaders and communities and neighborhoods and how we so easily kind of toss aside these kinds of things for reasons. You know, we have connections, we have personal relationships, and so we let go of things we learn and things we hear, and so abuse is allowed to perpetuate itself. Just really, it's just, again, it's to me, another one of those films that, for me, this is Oscar season. You know, you've got Room coming in, you've got Spotlight coming in, and I truly believe this is one of the best films of the year.
Yes, 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 yes!
Another must-see.
So that it's a great, you know, we've had a bad few weeks in the cinema.
What? Yes.
Not just financially, but, I mean, critically. I mean, it's just bad movies, and... so it's kind of good. We're getting into the good stuff now. And even the stuff you know is not going to get into awards season, you know, the Peanuts movie, probably not.
Right.
Spectre, you know, if you're a Bond fan, you're going to enjoy it. So anyway,
the movies are back.
Welcome to fall, where I'm excited. You know, it's awards season. You know, for those of us who are film critics, you know, this is also the time of year when we start getting the screeners.
Mm-hmm.
I love this time of year. You know, it's the time of year when you actually feel like you're a film critic in New York because they actually send you stuff instead of, you know, making you show up in theaters and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
On the exhibition side, it's the same way. We get excited. Everybody's pumped. We're ready. Today's the day. It's kind of kickoff for us. So, yeah, we're ready.
Okay, question. Yeah. Answer if you like, I guess.
Yes.
As a managing director for a cinema, let's just talk about this year. Has there been a movie that you are glad to see go and get out of the theater?
Are you speaking from critical sense or from a logistical sense?
Let's go critical sense.
Oh, I'll answer that question. For the betterment of humanity, I don't think we need pixels in the theater any longer than it was.
Okay.
You just had to diss Sandler in front of me, didn't
sorry.
You?
It's just the reality kinda
cold,
of the situation.
Dude.
I was one of those movies I went, I've got to see this, because it's my childhood, right? It's mm-hmm. it's all the Atari games, and I just felt like it didn't pay off the way that I was hoping it would, and actually kind of walked out mad. So
that's why
the
you're
movie
not
I'm
a critic. Okay. Oh, man.
Left angry.
That's it made money, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's...
Apparently.
All right.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
It's on DVD now, though.
It is.
So, oh, yeah. That is. We got some other stuff going on around town.
Well, yeah, like what?
IU Cinema tonight, 7 o'clock, in the History and Craft of Hip Hop series. Something from Nothing, The Art of Rap. That is standing room only tonight. So if you're going down there for that. And then...
So I can't go.
No, you can't. You cannot go there, Richard. Tomorrow. Oh, my God. You know what? Let's get a count here. We are 36 minutes in. That is the longest it has ever taken you to make a foot joke.
What can I say?
Continuing.
What else is going on, Kobe?
Tomorrow, November 7th from 1929 at 7 p.m. Blackmail. Silent movie with live accompaniment. Crime thriller. That's at IU Cinema. At the IMA this weekend in their Serial Cinema series, tomorrow afternoon, The Secret of NIMH. And then looking forward to November 20th, the Internet Cat Video Festival at the IMA.
Cat Video?
Yep, the Internet Cat Video Festival. Tibbs Drive-In is shut down for the season. Thank you, Tibbs. Skyline continues to roll on. We got a weird lineup here this weekend for the Skyline.
Wow.
Peanuts movie.
Cool.
Followed by The Martian.
Wow.
Good movie.
Followed by, at 11 p.m. from 1973, Bacciamo Le Mani.
I think I dated her. It was a bad relationship, though.
She could only speak Italian. It
didn't work. It really worked. She kept wanting to watch cat videos.
Well, you should have taken her to the Internet Cat Video Festival.
Exactly. Hey, what's Matt doing tonight?
Matt, tonight and this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday afternoon, I got my notes right here.
I knew you would know.
Yep. Matt is appearing in a production of The Exonerated at Earlham College. Tickets available, Richmond Civic Theater box office or the Earlham College box office. Again, that is The Exonerated tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday
afternoon. Is he playing the serial killer?
I don't know who he's playing.
I mean, because I looked at the cast picture, and he kind of looks like the serial killer. He does.
I've got two more for you this weekend.
What?
If I can, real quick.
Do it.
Of course.
On Sunday, we've got We're Showing Fantasia at 2 p.m.
For the...
The Soul Singer?
The Disney Classic.
Oh, yes. Okay. It's the... What anniversary? Is it the 50th anniversary? Or is it the 60th?
I think it's... Yeah.
Or 70, is it 75th?
It might be 75th. But we're playing at 2 p.m. on Sunday, and we're also playing the 25th anniversary of Home Alone at 4:30. Both on Sunday.
Wow.
It's Home Alone season.
It is.
I kind of want to go to that.
Oh, come on out. We've got both.
I may have to do that.
Yeah. Where could we find you?
You could find us at US 40 on Perry Road in Plainfield at the Shops at Perry Crossing Mall.
Don't look for the Metropolis. It's not there anymore.
It's not. All the Metropolis signs are down now. So actually, in seriousness, the amount of time and effort that the mall has put into this upgrade of the mall has been great. So if you've been looking for a reason to come check it out, it's definitely worth it. So
cool. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back shortly with DVD reviews. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. We'll be right back.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
And the DVD store is open at Film Sociology.
Wow. Hey, Kobe, I have a question for you. That incredible music that plays during the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a live music? I mean, not a live music. Is that like a local musician, or where'd we get that?
That is the theme from Blackula.
Is it really?
That is.
Wow, I did not know that. I was like hoping it was a local musician so I could like go
check
taunt them or something. I haven't thrown tomatoes at a musician in a long time.
It's been a long time since.
We've got some good stuff coming out on DVD this week.
I tend to agree.
So let's talk about the obvious one first, Inside Out.
Excellent movie.
It's Pixar actually seeming to care again.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they had a couple of ones in a row that were kind of like, okay.
What didn't you like?
Cars 2.
Cars 2 definitely.
I don't really care for Cars franchise just in general.
That's Pixar out there.
And I can't remember what was the other one they did that was just it was another retread, and it was just kind of like
Monsters University.
Yeah.
Monsters
you
University.
Know, it's not that they were bad. I mean, Pixar's at their worst.
Better than a lot of others.
Better than most.
You didn't like Monsters U?
I liked it, but it just felt like they were coasting.
You like Monsters Inc. Surely.
Yes.
Don't call me Shirley.
I think you know, when you expect something, you expect better with Pixar, right? Like they are the top of the craft, right? When it comes to making these, and sometimes they make these great movies, and then other times they make these profitable, these really really profitable. They're all profitable, but sometimes they make these that are just purely
kind of like
selling
Planes
toys.
And then Planes Fire Rescue.
Yeah, which actually, despite
I didn't see either one of those.
Well, Planes was actually. It wasn't Pixar. It was Disney. They just kind of didn't let people know that it wasn't Pixar.
Oh,
so you're not alone in that.
So, but Inside Out,
yes,
is a good one.
Oh, it's. I said excellent, and I'll say it again. It's an excellent one. I
did
really
you think it was excellent?
I really did. I did. I'm unabashed fan of this movie.
It's I don't know. It's one of those. It'll definitely get an Oscar nomination. There's no question in my mind. For best animated feature, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, it's like,
it's you know, it's the journey inside of a little girl's head.
Was she 10, 11?
Yeah, she's
something like
just
that?
Right before puberty.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you hate
how
to say
emotions
it's
work together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good way to describe it.
And how you can't, at some point in time, you deal in the real world and you have to deal with things that aren't always pleasant. And sometimes as a little kid, you're shielded from a lot of that. And so the good times are what overwhelm everything. But at some point you have to, and you learn the importance of having those other emotions, right? Of having the importance that sadness plays in your life, how anger can drive you and those kinds of things. And it was really well done in how they did that. And it's, you know,
I was skeptical when it came out, like seeing the trailers, like, I don't know. That seems kind of
right.
But saw it on a plane on a trip. And that's a home run.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised at work too. I mean, I remember watching the trailer thinking, okay, this might be three in a row, but it's not.
Well, and they nailed and I think a lot of that is they nailed the voice cast, the roles that they play. Then, it's perfect. I mean, they, you know, that helps when you're trying to do a movie like that. You've got to have the right casting, and they really did a great job getting the casting right.
A lot of times, I tend to have this attitude that British filmmakers do better with family films because they don't talk town to children.
Correct.
And Pixar has kind of taken on that mantle for America.
Right.
You know, they don't talk down to children. They realize that children are complex, but they're also intelligent. They have a lot to give, and and Inside Out really gets that. You know, I love that they don't make light of this child. You know, it's just, and yet it's entertaining, it's fun, it's intelligent.
Right. And at the end, it's not that everything goes back to the way that it was. There's a new reality of things, mm-hmm. and the importance of that. And I think that's great. The benefit of Pixar doing that, of doing exactly what you're talking about, is it draws in parents. Like, parents can go to a Pixar movie and they know they aren't going to be watching a movie that it's just purely for their kids. It's a movie everybody can enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So and it's also one you enjoy buying on Blu-ray or DVD.
Absolutely. Yes, so, definitely.
Which you can do today. So go do that. All right, the second one. Have you seen The End of the Tour?
I have.
This is the
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
what's his name? Jason Segel.
Yes.
Yeah. Tells the story of the 5-day interview between Rolling Stone reporter David Lipsky and acclaimed novelist David Foster Wallace. It took place after the 1996 publication of Wallace's groundbreaking novel Infinite Jest. And so it's a very talky film.
Yeah.
It's a very talky film. I mean,
it's very conversational, very, yeah. No, it's good, though.
Yeah. If you like a good, fairly straightforward drama, just watching two actors who really, I would almost say they're at the top of their game.
Two very solid actors.
Certainly Jason Segel, I think he's doing among his best work here. He's someone who...
In a totally different role, too.
In a totally different role. And I think he's a better actor than people have given him credit. Mm-hmm. And ever so often he does a project like this that reminds us of that.
Yeah, so if you're going in expecting to see comedy Jason Segel, you're not going to get exactly what you want, right? It's not Forgetting Sarah Marshall's Jason Segel.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah, no. Yeah. Definitely not. And really it's true for Jesse Eisenberg.
Right.
I mean...
You know, when I was watching this movie, the thing that... reminded me the most of, and this is kind of a weird comparison, Diner a little bit.
Ah.
And I can't tell you why. I just, that was what I kept coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably what you just said with the conversational nature of it. I'm sure that's a lot of why it reminds me of that movie so much.
And ever so often that kind of a movie just hits a spot for me.
Definitely a place for that.
Well, you know, I've got to have a little fun here because we are getting into the holiday season.
All right.
So we have a kind of the first holiday Blu-ray release coming out, a special edition of Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
I've seen this movie, too.
I have, too. Didn't you give it a 4-star review?
Something like that.
I think you nominated Kirk Cameron for an Oscar. I'm fairly sure. You know, he did play Bible Man.
There's a lot to say about this movie.
But can it be said on the air?
Some of it can, some of it can't. But yeah, the narrative of this story is—you can't describe it. I'm gonna go ahead and try. I want to hear.
You know, I have to be honest with you and say I had to print off the description because I was afraid that I would say something derogatory and get Matt some hate mail. And you know, I'm known for being a little edgier than probably most of the guest hosts.
Yeah.
But Kobe says, "Yeah, I have my finger on the button right here." Oh, come on.
I just didn't think this movie was very different than what I thought it was going to be.
Really?
I did. I was thinking it was going to be a there's a war on Christmas movie.
Yeah, that's kind of what the title lends itself to.
It is, and that's what you would expect, but I really didn't. It's really not that. It's kind of a consumerism is good movie.
It was a bizarre film.
Yes, it was just different than what I thought. It was very different than what I thought.
And let us not minimize the fact, and I just want to be open and upfront, Kirk Cameron cannot act.
He can't, and I...
I'm sorry, Kirk, if you're listening.
Did he lose the ability to act? Because, and maybe I'm just remembering my youth wrong when I used to watch Growing Pains every week when it was on. Maybe I'm just remembering that wrong, but something happened. No, he cannot act. You're right.
He's just frightening, and I mean, and I'm a pastor, okay? So it's not like I have a problem with religious themes in a film.
Sure.
Okay, I am a pastor. I know I shouldn't say that. You have 10 fingers. I'm proud of you. Kobe has 10 fingers. He just held them up for me.
You can't count. I showed you 9 fingers. That means we have 9 minutes. Way to blow our cover, Richard.
Wow, I'm glad you didn't hold up your toes. I would have felt insecure. Okay. Put joke number 2. Okay. Oh, so anyway. You know, honestly, if you are the target audience for Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, I'm sorry. First off, I'm just sorry. You know, I'm sure some people will buy that, and it won't be me. He was in one of the Kendrick Brothers films. You know, the guys who made War Room and Facing the Giants and Courageous and Fireproof.
He's in Fireproof.
They're kind of the... Right? Yeah. It's Fireproof. Yeah. It's the one he's in. And easily, to me, their worst film.
Yeah. It's,
and I, even if you good. Don't like their films, I think... but and I do like them. I've interviewed them before. And I perfectly nice guys. And, you know, and War Room did really well this year.
Extremely well, yeah.
Sort of very profitable, like a $3 million film that's brought in over $60 million. So,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they're not complaining. So, but I don't know. Anyway, if you want to go buy that, or if you know somebody who loved Kirk Cameron as a child or had his poster, go for it. So I do want to give a quick plug for a documentary that I got the chance to review this year called Matt Shepard is a Friend of Mine. It's out also this week. It's an indie documentary. Really well done documentary. I think we all know the story of Matthew Shepard. And this really gives you a different perspective on him. You know, unfortunately, you know, he's one of those young men who got known because he died. And I think this documentary really just gives you the fullness of his story, a lot of the tragedy, and really just a powerfully done documentary. So it is out on DVD this week, and I would definitely give that a recommendation. So we've got some good stuff coming up for the holidays. You and I were talking about that.
Yeah. Headlined by Star Wars.
Headlined by Star Wars. What's that about?
What's that about? Oh, that's obviously a seventh movie in the Star Wars.
Isn't that a Mel Brooks franchise? Film?
It is. No, that's Spaceballs. Yeah, no, there's definitely a good slate of movies. Thanksgiving time, Christmas.
What are you looking forward to?
We got Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
Mockingjay Part 2. So that wraps that series up on the 22nd. You know, I really...
You think they'll still be hungry at the end?
I will see. I don't know. You know, Pixar's got another one coming up, The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
It's also for Thanksgiving, so I kind of want to see how that goes. And this might be weird, but I am looking forward to Creed, which is...
That opens alongside
that
The
does.
Good Dinosaur.
These are all Thanksgiving movies.
November 25th.
These are... Creed is a... It's not really a direct Rocky sequel, but it has Sylvester Stallone in it playing Rocky, but it's about the son of Apollo Creed. And I think, so if you've enjoyed that series.
And he's played by Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
He can actually act.
He can act. He's a good actor. I like him. Good young actor.
Yeah.
So I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing what they do with that story, because I think there's a lot of room there for something fun.
That should be a good weekend.
I think you're right.
I think the 27th, The Danish Girl opens up.
Yes.
Which is a big Oscar buzz, though. Yeah.
That's
Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne. Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that one. Kind of the early history of transgender.
Sure.
And that should be a really pretty amazing film. It's getting a lot of Oscar buzz. Let's see. What else is coming up? Krampus, 12-4.
Which I can't tell if that's a straight horror movie or if that's a comedy horror movie, because the cast would lend you to believe it's a comedy horror movie. But the trailer campaign so far has been kind of a straight horror. So I don't know. That could be a fun movie, too.
That could be. That's Adam Scott and Toni Collette. And let's see, what else?
In the Heart of the Sea.
You know, I talk a little bit about December 18th, which is when Star Wars opens up. I think you said it actually opens up 17th.
It does.
The night of the 17th. But, I mean, first off, we have Alvin and the Chipmunks, the road ship.
We do. We do. Which, in that epic series. So another installment.
I think that would have been a great twofer, actually.
Jason Lee is back to reprise his role.
Okay. All right. And Sisters also opens up. I'll just quickly mention Christmas Day. Put it on your schedule.
Hateful Eight.
Forget about family. Just go see Concussion. Daddy's Home with Will Ferrell. Hateful Eight. Joy with Jennifer Lawrence. Point Break. And The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio. And they're all getting Oscar buzz. So, well, okay, Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home, not so much.
But, okay. So, it's we're getting into the good films.
We are.
We got some good stuff coming up.
Well, a little luck for everybody.
You know, here on the show, we frequently talk about people who have passed away.
Yep.
And, you know, this week I was sitting at my computer, and I'd had the good fortune to reconnect with Jim Mueller within the last year. He was a WFYI broadcaster who saw me in the hallway one time when I was here guest hosting, and remembered me, and saw Matt's posting that he had passed away. Mm-hmm. And Jim was, if you know me, I make a lot of foot jokes because I am a paraplegic and I am a double amputee. I was born with spina bifida, and in my childhood, I went to Camp Riley, which is a camp in Morgan County, run by the Riley Foundation. And it's a wonderful place for kids and teenagers with disabilities. And when I was a teenager, Jim was my camp counselor. And when I saw him and when he introduced himself, I instantly remembered him because he was one of those guys who reminded me that I could go above my disability. And he kind of nurtured my creativity while I was at camp. And so it was so exciting over the past year to be able to reconnect with him and to, you know, befriend him on Facebook and, you know, have some conversations back and forth. And so when I read Matt's post that he had passed away, I was just struck with this deep sadness of this person who had been there for me at a time in my life that was a really actually challenging part of my life. You know, I was mm-hmm. growing up with my disability and struggling to find a place in the world. And Jim was just one of those people who accepted me and kind of helped me get through those teenage years. And so, you know, I'm deeply appreciative of that. And it's really made me reflect this past week about that nurturing of creativity and how much that allowed me to grow into being a film critic and being able to be here and fill in for Matt Soucy and be part of film sociology. And it's just, it's humbling and it's just a tremendous loss and just makes me really, really sad. And so, Jim, raise a glass to Jim.
Well said.
I thank you for everything you've done in my life and undoubtedly done for so many others. Shane, I thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me again. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Always a blast.
And make it out to Carmike this weekend.
Absolutely.
And Kobe, thank you as always.
Oh, for absolutely. Saving thanks my for being neck. Here.
Thank you, Mr. Bianca.
Thanks, Uli. Thanks for listening. This has been Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI, HD to the point, WFYI.org. We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.